Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. And a warm welcome to the afternoon show. I'm Bill Arnold, and it is a continuation today of mental health and mental health topics. If you missed any of hour one, Dr. Tim Walsh was here with me. We were talking about worldview and mental health. It was a really interesting hour. And if you want to go hear that, you can check out the podcast at myfaithradio.com. Have you ever had one of those unwanted thoughts, and maybe it's a thought or an image, and it just gets stuck in your head? And you go, I don't know why this keeps popping up. And so it's sticky, it's uncomfortable, and you're thinking, why is this happening to me? Well, we might call that an intrusive thought, and I think all of us have them from time to time, and they can range from kind of random to things that are kind of disturbing. And to help us sort all this out is my friend Dr. Andy Scuttinga. He's a psychology professor at North Central University. I always enjoy having him in the studio with me.
It's good to be back.
Hey, Andy.
How you doing?
I'm good. So, intrusive thoughts. This is a big topic, and I know we're going to have a lot of interested people listening, because I've had uncomfortable intrusive thoughts as recent as today.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It happens, actually, with an amazing frequency for most people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can be anything from having a sudden urge to like pull your car into the ditch or run somebody off the road when you're driving. Like, I just want to run this truck off the road, and you have no idea where it comes from.
That's violent.
It is.
Yeah.
But that's one of the typical intrusive thoughts that cause people problems.
All right. Before we get to the violent thoughts, let's start with something a little bit lighter, like just negative thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm thinking to myself, oh, that didn't work out. I'm just feeling like a failure.
Yeah.
That's an intrusive negative thought.
It is, but maybe that's okay, because it could be true, right? I mean, maybe you did fail at something.
Oh, yeah. If you fail, know? That's fine too.
Right.
But if you're labeling yourself like a loser, that's not good.
Yeah,
that's
right.
An intrusive thought.
Yeah, that is. And I think my belief is that that is probably far more common than what even research suggests, because a lot of people don't want to admit it. They don't want to say that they have feelings like that or have thoughts like that, but it's quite common. And I think anyone who has a normal train of thought, somebody who's not dealing with, you know, like schizophrenia or something like that, will have reoccurring negative thoughts. It's what happens with them afterwards and how you kind of interact with them.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah. So when you think of the word paranoid, what about when a thought comes in and I say to a friend, boy, I had this thought, and the friend says, I think you're a little paranoid.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a paranoia or a paranoid thought and just kind of a junk thought, an intrusive thought that doesn't feel good, but it's still crept into my brain?
Yeah, the paranoid thought is that's a really serious thing that's when it becomes kind of an obsessive thought, something that you keep thinking about over and over and over again. And that's kind of one of the main features of obsessive compulsive disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Are those obsessions about things like that, where you become paranoid about your hands being dirty, or you become paranoid about acting out on one of those type of thoughts that tell you something that you should do. Whereas a junk thought, like you're referring to, is more along the lines of, yeah, your friend tells you something, and it's kind of negative. Maybe you don't appreciate it, or it kind of makes you feel bad. And then you keep coming back to that, and it continues to not make you feel very good. Now, you're not engaging in some sort of compensatory behavior to make it go away, but it is around quite a bit. That's more along the lines of those intrusive thoughts that are kind of those junk thoughts that mm-hmm. you could do something more easily about, but you need to do something about it, or else it can become – I love the word you used earlier. It becomes sticky, and you keep –
It keeps showing
can't
up.
Can't shake it off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
It keeps showing up. It doesn't, it's like a burr or, you know, that glue that's on the back of, you know, those credit cards that come in the mail or your bank cards, and you just can't get it off. It's kind of like that.
Yeah. So Dr. Andy Scuddinga is my guest. Andy's a psychology professor here at North Central University in the Twin Cities. And if we're having an intrusive thought, Andy, is it helpful to try to label it for what it is and say, oh, I think I'm having an intrusive negative thought. I'm going to just label it, call it out.
Yeah, that's actually a really helpful way, really helpful way to respond to it.
That's my last good idea for the day.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of time to fill, so we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I burned through all of my my show prep already.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes it happens, right? You're like, well, all my cool facts are done. Now what do I do? I'll make something up. Okay, so it's very wise to do that, to recognize something that's not of you. It's not a thought that is probably really coming from within.
Mm-hmm.
One of the myths about intrusive thoughts is that's what you really want to do. And a lot of people get very upset about those things because they're under the impression that if, for example, I'm driving, my example earlier, and I just have this sudden urge to push somebody off the road, that must mean I really want to, and there's something wrong with me. And then you start ruminating about that and thinking, what else am I thinking about that is really negative and bad? And now I'm actually a pretty bad person because I'm constantly thinking about these bad thoughts that I have towards other people, when in actuality, that first intrusive thought was just kind of a random thing that popped into your head. And if you say, yeah, that's a negative intrusive thought, I'm not going to act on it, I'm not going to worry about it, and A, and C, it's really not my problem,
mm-hmm.
You're going to be fine, and it's probably not going to come back.
Yeah. Andy, what about 2 Corinthians 10:5 that says we take every thought captive we to make it obedient to Christ? So am I getting the impression that, like, we're soldiers and the thoughts that we're having are enemies?
I think that's the way that it's portrayed sometimes. But in the context, Paul was talking about taking captive the thoughts of others, right? And he was going to go to Corinth and basically debate people and argue them into salvation. Like, hey, I'm going to put you in your place.
Yeah.
And I'm going to actually show you intellectually where your thoughts are wrong, and I'm going to kind of defeat them.
Mm-hmm.
What we can do in that situation is turn the spotlight on ourselves in terms of, maybe my thoughts are what Paul is actually talking about. Maybe my intrusive thoughts are kind of the opposition that Paul is referring to. And so we can take that mentality, I think, of being kind of a soldier taking a captive, but then what do we do with it? Because you have to house captives, you have to keep them somewhere, you know, because a captive is a prisoner. Mm-hmm. So if we're taking our thoughts captive in that kind of scenario, then we still have them within us. And I would argue that we don't want to take negative thoughts captive. We want to engage with them in terms of, I know what you are, and I don't need to keep you around.
Ooh, I like that.
Because you're not representative of who I am. You're not from me. And yeah, I have you, intrusive thought, but now I'm kind of done with you.
Mm-hmm. Andy, if I'm having an intrusive negative thought, do I try to let it linger to the point where it's diffused, or do I try to push it away as fast as I can, or a combo of both?
I would suggest letting it linger and diffuse rather than trying to fight it off.
Yeah.
Because what research shows is that when people try to fight intrusive thoughts, they lose. And it becomes like the tar baby in Brer Rabbit, right? We go back to that sticky. It's like wrestling gum off your fingers. The more you fight it, the worse it becomes. You get it all over your fingers. And so in terms of, like, capturing thoughts, you could capture it and, you know, kill it. But I don't think everybody feels comfortable with that idea of having a thought and then, you know, slaying it with something. That might work for some people, but for others, that analogy might not be so friendly. So I much prefer the idea of engaging with it for what it is. And this is kind of like, you know, mindfulness training. You recognize the here and now. I have this negative thought. I don't like it. It's not really true. It's not of me. I'm going to set it aside and recognize it is what it is. I have it. But, you know, I don't have to engage with it any more than that. Mm-hmm. And it'll just kind of disappear on its own. We don't have to fight these things to make them go away in this case.
Andy, what if you're having a negative thought, and as your friend, we're sitting there having coffee, and I say to you, Andy, you don't have to go there. Is that helpful?
I personally wouldn't find it helpful.
Well, so much for my idea.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think it depends on, I mean, it depends on the context, right? If you're talking about something that you know is going to cause conflict between you and your friend.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say, hey, let's not go there. It could be a defense mechanism to say, I'm too afraid or I don't want conflict with you to cover that.
Yeah.
And that might be a signal that you need to actually engage with it. Because if you keep sweeping things like that under the rug, like, I don't want to go there, then what you do is you just hide it for later. It will always, it'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of conflict with another person, maybe the better thing to do is say, right in this moment or today, I really don't feel like dealing with that today, but we need to talk about it at some point. And as your friend, or as my friend, I would like to engage with you on this at another time,
mm-hmm.
maybe even tomorrow, maybe even in an hour, maybe in a week, whatever. You know, you figure out a time frame, but then you agree to go back to it so we can have that conversation and work it out. Like, this is kind of like out of couples therapy too. Some couples can fight about something, and whenever the conflict comes up, they can deal with it at the spot. Even if it's a knockdown, drag-out fight, it's unpleasant, but we prefer to do it that way, fine. But if one of you needs time to calm down and cool off, and you say, I don't want to go there, that could be a signal to say, okay, when can we?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Andy Scuddinga is my guest. Andy, we're talking about intrusive and negative thoughts. They come in, and how do we deal with them? So let's say one has come into my mind. I've let it linger, so I'm not trying to push it away. I'm just trying to diffuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to say to myself, how do I prepare myself for this unwanted thought if it returns?
That's a really good thought. All right, it's really...
Maybe.
Sorry, didn't do that on purpose.
I know.
Just kind of happened. It's a really good idea to have a plan for what is going to happen if you do have a recurring thought. And having a plan such as, the next time that comes up, I'm going to imagine myself boxing it up and putting it on a shelf. Or you could imagine, you know, destroying it with a laser or, you know, whatever analogy sure. works in your mind to develop a picture for how I'm going to handle it. But it still goes back to the point of, if I have this thought again, I know I can just dismiss it because I know that's not me. That's mm-hmm. not who I am. That's not what I want. And I don't agree with that, you know, because sometimes people's intrusive thoughts are things like yelling things in church, yelling blasphemous things. That's actually a really common one. And a lot of people with obsessive compulsive disorder have very strong urges and thoughts to do things that are against their religion.
Hmm.
And they feel very guilty about that, which causes them to obsess about that, which causes them to engage in compulsive behaviors.
Okay.
So knowing that, you can plan ahead to say, when I have that thought about, I want to yell something really bad in church, and you keep having that every week in church, prepare for it by saying, well, if I have that thought, I'm just going to recognize that it's there and let it move off to the side and deal with the here and now, which is listening to the sermon or singing the songs or whatever.
Sure. So when it comes to negative and intrusive thoughts, are there contributing factors like stress, anxiety, maybe even a bad night's sleep that would help bring about more negative intrusive thoughts?
Absolutely.
Okay, that was maybe even a dumb question.
No, it was a great question because most people want to say, well, okay, smart guy, well, what makes me have these in the first place? And the number one answer for almost every mental illness is stress. And it's not just stress, it's our coping skills to deal with stress. Everybody has stress, right? Every day we have something that causes stress. We forget something. We do something wrong. We make a mistake. Someone cuts us off in traffic. Somebody spills coffee on our desk, you know, whatever. And we're like, oh, it's stressful because I have to do something out of the ordinary that I didn't want to deal with. That causes people anxiety and stress. How we handle that is so important in our daily lives. And a lot of people, quite frankly, don't have fully developed coping skills for some. They do for some things, but not for others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents can be incredibly patient with their kids for certain things, and then for something else, they're like, that's it. I can't take it anymore. Knock that off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all have those things, and how we cope with that stress is really indicative of our mental health response to it.
Mm-hmm. Andy, if you have an intrusive thought and it comes into your mind, and you say to yourself, this thought was clearly uninvited, unwanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had these thoughts where I think to myself, where'd this come from? Well, how did this surface in my brain?
Yeah.
And if it is a disturbing or an intrusive thought, the most effective thing that I try to do, and I'm not great at this, but I try to say, here's my thought, and I'm in a place between my mind and this thought. I'm going to superimpose the cross. So
yeah.
Now this thought has got to get past the cross to get back into my brain space.
I think that's a pretty workable solution.
Well, you just have to keep it ready to go at all times.
Yes, and be consistent with it.
Yeah.
And also trust that it's going to work. That's one of the biggest problems that therapists have with their clients is they give them really good tools to use, and the clients don't believe that it's going to work. You know, hey, I want you to try this.
Right.
Try to communicate with your, you know, conflict person this
right.
way. And they're like, I don't know if that's going to work. Well, of course not. If you go there thinking it's not going to work.
Yeah.
It's like if you're making food and you think this isn't going to turn out good. Well, it might not, because you
right.
might make a mistake. Freud was kind of funny about it. He believed that people made mistakes on purpose, and they had accidents on purpose to as a defense mechanism to cover for their insecurities.
Interesting.
So if you had a recipe to follow and you messed it up, he would say you did that on purpose because you were insecure about something related to the situation.
Well, producing the ideal outcome, right?
Right. And
you're insecure about it.
Exactly. So you actually do those things to protect yourself by saying, well, see, I can't be perfect, so I might as well not even try.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. Freud was right about a lot of stuff, actually. He's wrong about a lot of stuff, too. But that's one of those things where we sometimes unconsciously will do things to protect ourselves from seemingly unrelated areas.
Yeah.
And I think intrusive thoughts can be that way.
Indeed. We're talking about negative and intrusive thoughts and what to do with them. Let's continue this conversation with Dr. Andy Scudinger. He's a psychology professor. If you have a question for Andy, let me know what it is. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484.
I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story, don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio.
Dr. Andy Scudinger, good luck spelling his last name.
So true.
It is just so, I look at it and I go, I don't even know how to say that name.
Most people go with Schudinger.
Schudinger. S-C-H-U-T-T-I-N-G-A.
Yeah, you got it.
But it's Scudinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're
my
talking.
My dearly departed mother-in-law, no, not mother-in-law, my mom's mom, my grandmother, took her like 10 years to say it right.
Yeah.
My wife's grandmother suggested that I change my name to Baker because it's easier for her to say.
And did you agree?
No.
Okay.
No. She also stabbed me in the hand with a fork once because I was pretending to take her turkey.
Okay.
So
these are issues that we don't have time to deal with today, Andy.
No, I've had that one for a long time in the back of my head.
Yeah. We are talking about negative intrusive thoughts. We were talking during the break about, does our brain have a default mechanism where we, because of our fallen nature, our brains will drift towards negative and pessimistic thoughts, negative, unhappy thoughts? And if so, and if you have them, how do you stop unwanted thoughts in your mind? How do you stop unwanted thoughts in your mind? If you would be willing to send that over, I'd love to hear it on the text line, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. So I think a conclusion we've already come to, Andy, is if you have a lot of negative thinking or intrusive thoughts, it very likely could be a sign of anxiety or stress or maybe even low self-esteem.
Yeah, those things can definitely be exacerbating factors for people who have especially regular and occurring intrusive thoughts. Because there's intrusive thoughts that that everybody has from time to time, sometimes every day. And then there's things that are chronic and repetitive, and that's where we get into trouble with our mental health. Quality is when we keep having these, when we have recurring thoughts and they start to become part of our reality, and that can spiral into other disordered behavior. And then, you know, then you're talking time to go see a therapist or time to get some help in processing some of these things.
Yeah. I had a listener say that there was a period as a child from 4 to 14 where there was a lot of negativity growing up. And those thoughts remain intrusive and unwanted, and they surface regularly.
That makes a ton of sense, actually. And I'm not surprised to hear that. And I would guess a lot of our listeners can totally empathize with that. When you're surrounded by tons of negativity, especially if it's directed at you, that's hard to deal with. And it takes time to build up a more positive view of yourself. I think, you know, there's a lot of back and forth research about self-esteem and the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, we all want to feel good about ourselves. We want to feel happy with who we are and be satisfied with who we are. And when you've spent a lot of your life in a really negative environment, that's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. And I have a lot of empathy for folks who have had to deal with that. But there's hope, because there's something that you can do about that, because there's a lot we can do to change our mindset. We can become more positive people. We can change how we view the world, certainly. And it's helped a great deal by having a biblical worldview, one that has hope in Christ.
Amen.
But even people who don't have hope in Jesus can still improve their mindset. So as Christians, we have the ultimate answer, but we don't have the only answer in terms of, can non-believers be happy? Yes, they can. They can improve their lot in life. But when we have Jesus, that makes a huge difference.
All right, Faith Radio family, let's help each other. If you have a way that you stop unwanted thoughts in your mind, ones that are negative or intrusive, let me know what it is you do, and we'll share it. 877-933-2484. Again, text line is open, 877-933-2484. If I have an intrusive thought, Andy, what happens if I start giving it too much attention? It's not going to go away.
No, it won't go away. And we have to be careful here, because if you're having a negative thought that says, I need to do a better job at work, well, do you need to do a better job? I mean, some of these are worth examining, of course.
You didn't have to make it personal.
Well, I'm sure you're doing great, Bill. So far, the show's gone great, so I would say that. But if you are getting negative feedback from somebody who you report to, or from a family member who says you need to work on this, you know, a coach, if you're an athlete and you're playing a sport, and a coach says you need to work on your free throws, that's not an intrusive or negative thought, right? That's something you should pay attention to. The things that cause people more trouble are stuff like you're a worthless person.
Mm.
Those kind of recurring thoughts, those are unhealthy and not true. You have no value in life. That's not true, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those are the types of things that cause people long-term issues. And that's what we want to not focus on. That's what we want to kind of destroy or move past. But yet, when you have those thoughts, I go back to what we talked about earlier. If that thought is recurring, we can look at that thought, hear it, and say, yeah, that's a negative thought, but I'm not going to let it dominate my thinking past this point. And you move it to the side as if it's an easily shoved barrier. Like if you're walking on a path and there's a log in front of you, that's not that big, but it's in your way. You can pick it up and move it. You can recognize it's there. It's problematic. I have to deal with it, but I put it aside and I don't have to chop it up and burn it and, you know, bury the ashes in the sea. You just move it aside and move on.
Yeah.
That's a really helpful way to deal with these kind of thoughts.
Mm-hmm. So, Andy, when I ask the question, how do I stop unwanted thoughts in my mind? I already have my first response. A listener, Claire, said, picture it like a bird. It flew into my head, and I have the choice to either let it fly away or build a nest and make it feel at home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great analogy.
It's a great analogy.
And it's really true. I love the idea of allowing something to build a nest. Because, you know, some of those birds, they'll build a nest in like 5 minutes.
I know.
and then all of a sudden you've got a bunch of stuff on your window that you didn't invite. And what was the listener's name?
Claire.
Claire, you're exactly right. And because we didn't invite the bird there, and
right.
birds aren't necessarily terrible things. It just kind of flew in there, landed, and yeah, you can say shoo, or whatever you say to birds that you don't want on your windowsill. It's because it's not something you want to hang around. You want to wave it away, and it'll fly away, mm-hmm. and it'll go away. But if you let it build that nest, it's going to sit there.
This might be a simple statement, Andy, but are intrusive thoughts, do they feel so real because it is real in your mind?
Well, in one sense, any thought in your mind is real.
True.
If you've had it as a thought,
yep.
it's a thought, and it's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of interesting philosophy, I'm sure, behind what thought is. I mean, we are human because we have internal monologue and thought. That's what sets us apart from the rest of, you know, created order, mm-hmm. is we're the only species with thoughts. Thoughts about ourselves and thoughts about others. You know, I don't think pets have thoughts the way that we do. We're self-aware, and I don't know that they have that same thing.
Well, they have thoughts like, when are you going to come home and when are you going to feed me?
Sure.
Yeah.
But those are basic survival things.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And some of it's attached to love, maybe, but people have a lot more complex thoughts about it, about things than that, right? Mm-hmm. So a thought is a thought is a thought. It's a real thing.
Yeah.
But it only has as much power over us as we let it have.
Yeah, whereas I'm wondering, when am I going to get home and what am I having for dinner? So it's kind of the same thought.
Yeah, we often cover this at the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, we do. Well, because we're both getting hungry right now.
Oh, I'm very hungry
right now. I'm very hungry too.
Yeah, we're having burgers and fries at my house.
I got to plan a snack before the show starts.
There's some candy bars in here.
I see that, but I'm not a candy bar guy.
No, I'll take them all then.
You may. As a matter of fact, I hope you do.
All right.
So here's another thought that came in. I love this. When the question was asked, how do you stop unwanted thoughts in your mind? Another comment, I practice interrupting negative thoughts with thoughts about God's love for me or things I love about God. It helps me a lot to just interrupt them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Another one says, ask God to give you a scripture that speaks truth to the thought. Memorize it. So when that thought comes toward you, including the fiery dart, which would come from the enemy, speak and or think the truth of God's word. This is holding up the shield of faith, and also God's word will heal that place of brokenness and renew your mind.
Okay.
Do I have the smartest listeners ever?
Yeah. Those are great. I mean, you do what works in situations like this. Everybody's got different ways to handle mental things. Our minds are so powerful and so complex, and yet sometimes some of the best solutions to those problems are elegantly simple. Ask God for a verse and learn it and recite it. And when you have negative thoughts, the power of God's word is always going to win. And some might say, well, I've tried that and it doesn't work. Okay, well then don't give up. Keep looking for different solutions, and always remember, you're the master of your thoughts. You might not be able to stop them from coming, but you can do something about them when they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our hope lies, is you may never be able to stop intrusive thoughts or negative thoughts from coming. And there's ample evidence that many people can't stop them, but they can learn how to deal with them. That's mm-hmm. what cognitive behavioral therapy does. And there's other therapy models that do this too. Mindfulness-based acceptance therapies. You accept the fact, okay, I have a lot of intrusive negative thoughts that happen to me, but I know how to handle them. So they don't dictate the way that I live my life anymore. They don't dictate how I feel about myself anymore. My worth and value aren't tarnished by these negative thoughts. In fact, my worth and value is so polished by God's love that those things are like, they bounce off me like Teflon. They're there, but they're just gonna fall right to the side.
I like it. Dr. Andy Scuddinga is my guest. We're talking about intrusive and negative thoughts, and how do you deal with those when you have a negative thought that comes in? What do you do? We got some great comments already. If you would like to add yours into the mix, I'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
It's the afternoon. Morning Show with Bill Arno. Drive time, drive time. Let's get it started. Jump in your car. Yeah. What's for dinner? Hey. It's the Afternoon Show with Bill Arno.
I sure hope you've had a good day. And if you just climbed into your car, Dr. Andy Scuddinga is my guest right here with me in studio. I've known Andy for years. We are friends, and we're talking about negative and intrusive thoughts. And what do we do when we get them? And I'm getting all kinds of really great responses. Here's another one, Andrew. Pray for others, recite scripture, sing spiritual songs to yourself, especially praise. Tell the evil one to leave.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well done.
I like that.
I like that too. So maybe you would help me understand the difference, Andy, between an intrusive thought and an impulsive thought. Is there a difference between those two?
Yeah, an impulsive thought is more along the lines of do something and you do it. An impulsive thought is I'll just take that candy bar that doesn't belong to me.
You mean the one on the counter you already took?
Well, no, you said I could have
one. That's true. I did say
that. Yeah, we got to get away from the food examples. You know, it's I'm just going to do this, right? Mm-hmm. That's an impulsive
thought.
That's
impulsive.
Yeah, an intrusive thought is something that you definitely, like by definition, an intrusive thought from a psychological perspective is it's a thought that you don't want, period. Mm-hmm. It's a negative thought that you don't want.
All right, Andy, if I've had some traumatic experiences in my life, maybe there was neglect, or I've had a bunch of negative reinforcements throughout my life, I would say the tendency for negative and intrusive thoughts to come into my brain would be more common, more regular than those who maybe have not gone through that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the healing and the way in which we seek God for our comfort and our healing and how to deal with some of these recurring negative thoughts.
Yeah, it can be a long process for people to be able to put some of those things behind them. Intrusive thoughts are also a key part of PTSD patients who are dealing, and PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder. For those who don't know, I think most people are pretty familiar with the idea, but not everybody knows the acronyms for everything like that. That's a common piece of it. And it's having the intrusive thoughts are actually intrusive memories that are real. So there are a lot of people who have intrusive thoughts that are memories more than, aside from just thoughts, they're actually real things that have happened to them. Or like you said, they were told a lot of really negative things about themselves, or still have a lack of self-worth from something that happened to them. They feel like it was kind of their fault. You know, they weren't a victim. It was really something they earned or deserved.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a while to work through that for many people. And some have never had that resolved, and it lingers for years. So how do you get healing from that? I think one of the main ways is to actually engage with those thoughts.
Hmm.
And I know that's different than what we were talking about earlier, but we're talking now about things that have been there for a lot of our lives that are the result of something traumatic that happened to us. A lot of the other thoughts that we were talking about aren't necessarily from that history. They're just kind of intrusive thoughts that become regular. So in this case, when we're dealing with something that has happened, part of the treatment for PTSD is not learning how to hide from those memories or learning how to suppress them. It's actually the opposite. It's fully engaging with those negative memories and those negative experiences so that you can, in a sense, own them and master them to the point where you say, yes, that happened to me. It was terrible, but I've moved on and I'm okay with it.
Okay.
And it shapes who I am today, because you can't not be shaped by something negative. That is who you are. And it definitely informs who you are from day to day. So accepting that and recognizing I can't change the past, I can't hide from the past. The past is who we are. When you are able to accept that, you're often able to move on, and those recurring thoughts become less and less.
Mm-hmm.
And you become more comfortable with handling them when they do happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm awfully curious as to how you stop an unwanted thought that comes into your mind. If you have something you do and you'd be willing to share it, please text it over to 877-933-2484. Andy, I think we had mentioned this before the break, But do we unconsciously use negative thoughts and intrusive thoughts almost as a defense mechanism that would maybe protect us from things working out, or if we're blindsided by something that we're not maybe as disappointed because we allow that negative thought to drift around in our brain?
Sure. I never get what I want because I don't really deserve it anyway.
Oh, there you go.
And so I'm not as disappointed because, you know what, nothing ever works out for me anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's a self-defeating type of way of thinking, and it's also kind of a defense mechanism, so you can protect yourself from, you know, it's really not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a bad life, and, you know, I get what I deserve, and there's nothing I could have done anyway. Instead of taking kind of charge of your life and maybe making some substantive changes,
mm-hmm.
or even just learning better ways of dealing with things that you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another thing. You know, sometimes bad stuff we can't do anything about.
Right.
And we're going to have bad thoughts about that. That's pretty natural and normal. How do we handle that better, though? That's up to us.
But let's take some of these dangerous or intrusive negative thoughts seriously.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have postpartum depression or you're having a suicidal thought and you could be a danger to yourself?
Right.
I mean, so how do we understand and how do we talk to people and how do we get help if we need help?
Yeah. With postpartum depression, let's start with that. That's very common. I got to remember now. About 15 to 20% of women with postpartum depression, it will be borderline psychotic level depression.
Okay.
And it needs significant help immediately. About 80% of women will experience some form of postpartum depression, most of which will fade away after a few weeks, some of which will require probably some treatment or intervention. So that's a very real thing, and any expectant mom should probably just think ahead and have a plan for there's going to be some times after your baby's born where you're going to feel down and you're going to feel blue and you might feel like you're getting depressed and it might last for a few days. That's actually pretty normal. And talk about it. Be open about it. There's nothing to hide. There's no shame in that at all. It's very, very common. And if you talk to other moms who are near you, ask them if they've experienced it, and I guarantee you, 3/4 of them will say, yeah, I totally had that. And then you can talk about it. Suicide, though, that's a very different thing, obviously. The best thing to do with someone who is talking about that is to continue talking with them about that. There's a myth that if you talk about suicide with people, they're more likely to do it. And that is totally not true. If you know someone who is experiencing suicidal thoughts, encourage them to go talk to somebody who's a professional.
Immediately.
And get help immediately.
Yeah.
Now, if they have a plan, like if they say, hey, this is what I'm going to do, then you call the police and you say, my friend or my whoever it is, this person is threatening suicide and they have a plan and I'm concerned they're going to follow through with that. You need to act upon that. And you cannot be afraid of how they're going to feel about you. You need to act on it. If you're dealing with somebody who says, I've had some thoughts about suicide and I don't know what to do about that, we don't need to call the police, mm-hmm. the ambulance. But you talk with them about it and encourage them to go get some help. That's a different level of intrusive thought that we want people to engage with right mm-hmm. away.
Dr. Andy Scuddinga is my guest. Andy, if I overthink something, does that qualify to be a negative or an intrusive thought?
No, I don't think so, because there's a lot of overthinkers.
Okay.
In fact—
That's not unhealthy, huh?
No, I don't think— Well, I mean, it can be, of course. Yeah. Like anything, right? Moderation is the key. Some people are overthinkers— And that can be a real tool for them. It could be a real benefit. I just had a colleague today. We were in a meeting for something, and she said, I am a chronic overthinker, but that has allowed me to be better at seeing both sides of issues, and I'm able to be a more neutral observer with things where there might be conflict because I've thought so much about it, I see both sides, and that becomes really helpful for me. I'm like, wow, okay, now that's a healthy response to be an overthinker.
That is pretty healthy, yeah.
Now, when you're overthinking leads to intrusive thoughts, then you might need to talk to somebody mm-hmm. about how do I dial down my overthinking?
Yeah. Dr. Andy Scuddinga is my guest. We're going to continue talking about negative and intrusive thoughts and what we can do with them. And there's been some wonderful submissions here. And if you do something specific to stop unwanted thoughts in your mind and you're willing to pass your wisdom along to us, I'd love to share it on the air. 877-933-2484. And of course, you can always remain anonymous. We'll be right back. Hi there and welcome. If you are a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome packet gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. I hope you're having some positive thoughts, because I'm talking to Dr. Andy Scudding about negative and intrusive thoughts. But Andy, I can imagine that there's such a thing as positive intrusive thoughts.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden you're being reminded, or a thought pops into your mind that maybe wasn't anticipated, but it's a positive thought.
Oh, sure. Nobody talks about those, though.
We don't.
Isn't it funny?
We started our topic as negative and intrusive thoughts, but I would imagine intrusive thoughts can also be positive.
Yeah, they certainly can. I mean, you can be just sitting in your office working or at home doing nothing and just think, man, my life is pretty good. Or I really like, you know, whatever. I think that's great. Take advantage of that. You know, if people are having positive thoughts, focus on those.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
Do you know if intrusive thoughts get worse as you get older? Or is, I'm just...
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah,
that's a fascinating question.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
You know, my initial reaction is that, no, I don't think it gets worse. Because, and this is just me guessing, okay? I think as people get older and become wiser and more experienced, I think they become better at listening to their mind and saying, yeah, no, that's not me. Or, yeah, that's maybe something I need to think of. Or, I'm going to be okay even though I have these negative thoughts. Whereas I think for younger people, they don't have that experience that says, this too shall pass. You know, when you've dealt with some hard things in your life, you learn how to cope.
Mm-hmm.
And you hopefully develop some coping skills and response skills that as you get older, those thoughts just become less and less because you don't really need to have them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Andy, is the enemy using what he has at his disposal to try to discourage and create despair in us by helping remind us of negative thoughts? Does he have any responsibility for some of these intrusive thoughts coming into our head?
That is a very interesting question. I think there's probably a lot in the world that points us toward that way.
Yeah.
I don't fully comprehend the power of the evil one, the enemy, Satan. You know how we have lots of names in our Christian circles for the devil.
Yep.
And I don't know if he has the power to get into our heads and change our thoughts. I think he has the power to put things in front of us that make us think about that
a
lot
right.
more.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I tell students is the world really hasn't changed all that much. Sin is still sin. People are broken and need a savior. And the tools that the devil has to work with have changed. But the fact that he's working hasn't. Right? You know, everybody likes to point to phones and computers and technology. You know, technology is evil and the devil has way more stuff to work with. I don't know if that's true. I think the devil just uses different tools that we use today, right? We have smartphones and we have social media, and social media itself is not an evil thing, just like your phone isn't an evil thing. It's a thing.
Just a
right?
thing.
It's just a thing.
Yeah.
Everything but humans are things, other living creatures, obviously, but you know, all the stuff in this office that we're in, this studio, they're just things. They're not good or evil. They're just there, and how we choose to use them. And I think Satan has the same thing. He has tools at his disposal, and we have to decide if we're going to let him use them against us or not.
Mm-hmm. So as we've been talking this hour about some intrusive thoughts, and we have talked more about the negative intrusive thoughts mm-hmm. because that's the topic of today.
Yeah.
But there are thoughts that can cause doubt. That can be an intrusive negative thought.
Yes.
There is the unexpected reminders of our painful past or something from the past that pops up, and that comes out of nowhere, and it's not like you had any control over it emerging into your mind. You do have control over how you handle it.
Absolutely. Fair? Just like emotions, we oftentimes don't control our initial emotion. We have a feeling and we have a response, and we're reactionary in nature. I think God wired us that way. But yeah, with the fall of man, we sometimes are ruled by our emotions, when we maybe need to take a more logical approach.
Andy, have we been introduced to the idea of intrusive thoughts in the last 3 or 4 years with the idea of catching germs? Or is that just kind of us being cautious? But I used to think, well, there's going to be germs.
Yeah.
You're going to get COVID. You're going to, you know, get, people are going to not make the right choices. And
these
intrusive thoughts of, yeah, that I could be.
Like, are they kind of contagious?
Yes.
That's almost like a philosophical question, right? Like, I think they can be if you're always talking about them. And if you're having, you know, if you're in a circle of people that you know and you're always talking about your negative thoughts, well, then it becomes, they become stickier for you.
True.
But then maybe the people around you start talking about theirs more, and all of a sudden you've got a bunch of people who are always talking about their negative and intrusive thoughts. So in that, I mean, social contagion is a real thing for a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like energy at sporting events. That's kind of social contagion, right?
It is.
You see something exciting, everybody's like, well, this is exciting. Let's get more excited. And when you talk about negative things all the time with people, you're going to become more negative. And so if you have someone in your life who is constantly talking about their negative thoughts, maybe redirect them to think, well, do you have some positive thoughts that come around? Let's talk about some positive things. Or maybe help them understand that you don't have to be captive to these negative thoughts. You can do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll help you. I'll pray for you. And you can, you know, there's things that you can try. You know, we got so many great listener responses of what to do. Share those with your friends who are experiencing negative thoughts. They'll be grateful.
Mm-hmm. When you get behind a radio and do a radio show in the afternoon, sometimes you have concerns about saying something that turns out to be embarrassing because you said it incorrectly or you blew it. And so there's that thought, but I don't try to let that thought show up very often in my head.
No. And that's a great example, because if you do that every day, you won't be effective at this.
That's true.
Because you'll approach every day with fear.
Yeah.
And you'll approach every show with, what if I mess up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I guarantee it. And that's, if we approach life that way, in terms of, yes, I'm going to strive to not make mistakes, but if I do, it's not the end of the world. If I'm embarrassed, I'll recover. You know, that mantra, this too shall pass, can apply to anything that's negative. You'll get through it because you're here today, right? I mean, but if we allow that thought to creep into our plan for every day, now today's going to be another one of those days where I go to work and nothing works right. Well, you're already setting yourself up for failure by doing that. And so we have to live a little bit fearlessly, and we have to live with trust that God is going to guide us and he's going to take care of us and he's going to be there the whole time no matter what happens. So, yeah, I don't think it's a terrible idea to say, hey, I don't want to make any mistakes on the air today.
No.
There's thousands of people listening. You don't want to be careless. But at the same time, we can't live in fear of making mistakes and doing something negative. That can be crippling.
Mm-hmm. Andy, we got some great feedback today, some great counsel from listeners that made this very fun to hear how people deal with intrusive thoughts. And there is research that indicates 94%, so there's a big number of people will experience unwanted intrusive thoughts and or impulses. So we're all in this together.
Yes, we absolutely are.
So if we take our thoughts to Jesus and to say, I'm gonna let you work this out. I think we're always gonna be better off.
I think that's a pretty good plan.
Yeah. So I always enjoy, Andy, our conversations, and this was one that I thought, when you brought up the idea of dealing with negative and intrusive thoughts, I thought that would probably be a good topic, only because I think we're talking to everybody today.
Yeah.
We are all in a position. Maybe you've even had a negative, intrusive thought today, and just give yourself grace.
Yes.
Say you didn't ask for it.
No.
And it showed up, and let it diffuse. Give it to the Lord. Pray about it. Don't let it, like the bird, let it fly away. Don't let it nest in your head.
I love that one. Yeah. Thanks, Claire.
Yeah, that was a good one. All right, that's our show for the day. Thanks again to Dr. Tim Walsh and Dr. Andy Scudinga for being such great guests. I enjoyed it. As the evening awaits you tonight, I hope you find rest and comfort and peace and love in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus. And if you've not made a decision to put your faith in him, please do repent and believe. And that is my message for today. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.